Hey, what's going on, Table Breakers? Welcome to a very special episode of 7-1 Blitz. I'm here with Doug and DJ as usual, and joining us for this 7-1 Blitz mock draft, we have Andrew from the Transfer Portal. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate y'all having me.
All right. So we are going to be doing the first 16 picks of the NFL draft. We're doing no trades just to keep things simple. We are aware that trades will probably happen in the real thing, but we're going to do our best to try to be as accurate as possible. Anyone got anything they want to add before we get going?
I think we're ready to get into it.
All right. Sounds good, guys. So I think I'm up first with Jacksonville. With the first pick, I'm going to go Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. There's quite an argument to be made about them maybe taking an offensive tackle, but I think there's an enticing opportunity to pair Josh Allen, the defensive end Josh Allen, with another premier pass rusher in Aiden Hutchinson. I think that'd be a great way for that franchise to start bouncing back a little bit. They could always address offensive line later on. But I think, for me, this is the best player in the draft, and I think the safest pick for Jacksonville. So I'm going Aiden Hutchinson, number one.
I like it.
Yeah, that's probably the most likely pick right now, I would say, for Jacksonville. Yeah. And you talked about an offensive tackle. I would probably like that pick, but as of right now, I think Aiden Hutchinson is pretty much a lock to go number one. People have been talking about Trevon Walker, but I think Aiden Hutchinson is probably right there right now.
I agree.
All right, Doug.
Hmm?
It's you.
All right, yeah. All right. So the next pick is the Lions, and I actually think they're gonna go Kayvon Thibodeau here, because I know there's like been a lot of talk that he's going to drop, but I actually believe that he's like the most polished pass rusher in the draft. Like the past 3 years, he's been the most consistent. There have been talk about motors, but his inconsistent motor, but everything that you've seen from the field, like, you know, he's always trying really hard. I feel like that he's going to like take that as like a chip on his shoulder and really go from there. And then, you know, they did draft Nasu well from Oregon last year, and now they get their franchise pass rusher in Thibodeau. There's still a chance he can fall here, but I really think that's going to be the pick here.
Okay. Well, with the third pick, I think Houston's going to go. This one is kind of – talked to Gabe with this one earlier today. We've seen it up kind of all over the place. But I think the pick will be Kyle Hamilton, the safety from Notre Dame. I don't know if it's necessarily the smartest pick for them, but it seems to be the easiest pick. Big guy, 6'4", 220. Solidify the back on there in Houston wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, and especially after losing Justin Reed, they're going to need that premier safety on the back end. Next up, we got the New York Jets with the fourth selection, first of their two first round selections as of right now. And I think that with how the board is falling right now, this should be a snap pick between either Evan Neal or Sauce Gardner. I would take Evan Neal now. The offensive line isn't great. They have two tackles that they like in Mekhi Becton and George Fant. If they can get one of them to either stay healthy or stay consistent, with Becton's probably more towards staying healthy, Evan Neal is the cornerstone left tackle that you want to protect Zach Wilson and to continue his development.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. And we got the New York Giants at number five. I kind of went back and forth with this one a little bit. Evan Neal being off the board certainly helps me with this pick. I'm going to go Akeem Ekwonu from NC State. They've had O-line problems for years. Andrew Thomas finally started to come around, so I think this helps give them two young tackles that they could finally rely on. And if Daniel Jones does have a shot to keep his job after this year, this will help him out with that tremendously. Brian Daboll needs to establish something on that offense, whether he's going to keep Daniel Jones or not. I think whichever direction you go in, there's no harm in taking this guy to help protect, whether it's, again, Daniel Jones or a rookie the following year.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
All right, and I'm next up. On the next pick is the Carolina Panthers. I kind of went back forward with this one because, like, the Panthers have – I think they have, like, the most, like – like the most like holes that they have on their roster. Like they could definitely go in different directions here, but since it's our first mock draft, I'm going to go on the practical route. And I'm actually going to go Malik Willis because there's just so much hype on him. I think out of all the QBs, I know it is a weaker draft, but he has like the highest ceiling. He's kind of like the Trey Lance of this draft where like you just put him in the right system and go from there. But I know that Matt Rhule is not, I have some friends who are Panthers fans and they don't like him. Like, you know, they think like his system's bad and like there's this other, you know, coaching issues and all that. But I really believe that he could be like their next franchise QB if like the different dominoes fall that way. And they definitely do need a QB because all they have is, Sam Darnold, who was not great last year. And it's just, you know, I think rather just, you know, pick the QB with the highest upside.
Yep, I like it. A little early, maybe, but I like it.
Yeah, you know, I even heard rumblings that like the Steelers might trade up for him. So, but maybe, who knows? Maybe that happens, or even the Saints maybe could be a little bit lower. But I think, you know, first mock draft, not really doing any trades. I think that, you know, I think this is a good spot for him.
Yeah. All right. With the Giants, the second pick here at 7, I like this one is Trayvon Walker, defensive end from Georgia. You know, 6 sacks last year, 37. Tackles, big guy can get after it. So I think the Giants desperately need that as well. I like the guys on the defensive side of the ball here, big bodies that can get after it. So there's my pick.
Yeah, I like it. Giants getting both sides of the trenches, offense and defense. Next up, we got Atlanta at 8. And actually, you taking Trevon Walker makes my job a lot easier. This pick is Ahmad Sauce Gardner. I mean, if you can get a cornerback tandem of A.J. Terrell on one side, Ahmad Sauce Gardner on the other side, it's going to make your defense so freaking good. It might make people ignore that atrocious offense outside of Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, they definitely need defensive help as much as possible.
Yeah, I've seen. Andrew, would you be surprised that Sauce would be down here at 8 or no?
I'm going to say it depends a lot, but he could go as high as 4. He could end up somewhere around that 10 range. I would be kind of surprised if he fell out of the top 10 in general. So 8 isn't really a bad landing spot when it comes to value.
Okay.
Yeah, if he's there at 10, I would doubt the Jets pass on him twice. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, and Seattle. This is an interesting one. In the real world scenario, in 2 weeks, I could see this either being, if he's still on the table, I could see this being Malik Willis, or I could see if Malik Willis is still on the table, I could see Seattle maybe trading down with Pittsburgh or something like that, or New Orleans, and just acquire a bunch of picks. They're in kind of a rebuilding state. But since we're doing no trades and since Malik Willis is off the board, Andrew, you kind of touched on this, getting both sides of the trenches. I think if you're in a rebuilding state, if you have multiple picks, whether it's in the first round or wherever, I think that's where you build your foundation. I always say you can't build a house from the attic first, so you go for the foundation first. So I'm going to go with what I think is the safest pick with what's available to me, and I'm going to go Charles Cross, offensive lineman from Mississippi State.
Love that pick.
All right, I'm next, and the Jets are on the board again. Andrew went right tackle with the first pick, and I think that, you know, there's been many things where, like, you know, they had Sauce falling this way. They even have them maybe taking, like, a wide receiver here. But I really think that the Jets at this point really need to focus on the trenches because, like, that's what proves, like, what team's going to be and what they're not going to be. So I'm actually going to go his draft stock has been going up, so I'm actually going to choose Jermaine Johnson from Florida State. He's been like projected around this year, and he really has like gone through the roof. He had a great combine, and like he proved that that this edge rusher is a little bit better than what everyone thought. And I really think that they're going that direction because, you know, who they have on that side, they have like they have Leonard Willing. Oh wait, nope, that is the Giants. They don't really have that many pieces on that side. So I really think that, you know, help on both sides would be really good.
All right. Well, since you passed on a wide receiver, everyone's passing on wide receivers. I think the Washington here makes sense to take Drake London. I like this pick. Big body, coming off a 1,000-yard season at USC. Really, really excited to maybe see him opposite Terry McLaurin there and Antonio Gibson in the backfield and give Wentz, you know, as many weapons as you can possibly help give him. I just like his game. I think he's, you know, I'm 6'3", 6'4". You know, I like tall guys. So like, this guy's, you know, 6'5", 210. I like what he brings to the table here. And yeah, I think it helps giving Wentz all the firepower you can have on that side of the ball.
Yeah. At this point, anything to help Carson Wentz. Next up, we've got Minnesota, my home state team at 12. And the number one need for them is easily corner, even though I don't think they should kind of just go straight tunnel vision on that. If a guy like Derek Stingley falls to you at 12, that should be a snap pick. What he did in 2019 was phenomenal. What he did in 2020 and 2021 wasn't really. He's coming off the Lisfranc injury. He had the pro day last week. If you can get him back to that 2019 form or even better, he can be one of the better, if not one of the best corners with his just combination of his athleticism, with his ability to stick in coverage. He is so good. You just need to get him back to what he was in his prime. And I think that the Vikings could really have their first great corner since Xavier Rhodes kind of had that down season and he went to Indy.
He apparently had a great combine. He's like, he's like the healthiest that he's been in 2 years. So I think that would absolutely be a steal for them.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm up with Houston's second pick. DJ took Kyle Hamilton with the first one. A lot of the edge rushers that I would have liked to have stuck around are kind of gone for this pick. So this might be a little bit of a reach, but I'm going to go what I think is the next best offensive lineman for them. And I'm going to go Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa. Excuse me. I think with what's available, with how this draft has unfolded so far, I would have loved Jermaine Johnson here for them, or even if Walker fell, which I doubt is going to happen. But I think this is the next best offensive lineman out of the ones that survived so far, and I think he's a safe play for Houston, who's in a complete rebuild, and it helps second-year quarterback Davis Mills out a lot.
Really good, building up the trenches there. All right, and the next pick is the Baltimore Ravens. This is actually a pretty easy pick because their corner room is an absolute just injured disaster. They have Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, but like everything, they just lost Kayvon Young to the Bears. They lost another corner, so it's just they really need to rebuild their and I really think that they're going to go with Trent McDuffie from Washington. If you watched our last episode, I actually covered him for the Bills pick because I think they're going to go corner. But I think with how this falls out, I feel like that this seems like a slam dunk for the Ravens because I talked that like he's out of all the corners. I like him the most because like he's the most versatile, really great in run support, good in both zone and man. And that's like everything's what a Raven's supposed to be because like even Marlon Humphrey, like, yeah, he's a great cover corner, but like he's fantastic at run support. And I can't remember the stat, but like he caused like the most fumbles for a cornerback. I think it was 2019 when they went 14-2, number one seed. So I really think this is an absolute slam dunk. He kind of seems like a Raven as well. So absolutely. They could definitely go. I do like the corner class here. Like you can either go with like Khalil Elam. He's pretty good in that retrospect, and Andrew Booth as well is really good in the slot, but I think that this will be their pick for them, Trent McDuffie.
I like it. So with the 15th pick, I think the Eagles go wide receiver Jameson Williams this pick here. In my opinion, he's like the closest thing, not saying he is Tyreek Hill, but he's probably the closest thing in this draft to Tyreek Hill. You know, coming off the 1,500 yards, 15 touchdown season, and then he tore his ACL. yeah, I think the Eagles here make sense. Jalen Hurts, could get him a weapon. And then there's been rumblings about trading, what's his name? Jalen Reagor, whatever.
Reagor.
Yeah.
Talking about trading him all of a sudden now. So this pick makes sense there with the rumblings going on. And again, if they can get him at the 15th spot, they got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah. I think that Jameson Williams is going to go higher than a lot of people think.
Yeah.
Remember back in, was it the 2020 or the 2019 draft? I lost count of years when it was Judy, CeeDee Lamb, and Henry Ruggs. Everyone was super high on either Lamb or Judy. And then Henry Ruggs went first.
Yeah.
I think we're starting to see that shift where if you have elite athleticism, you're able to stretch the field better than everybody else, you're going to get taken a lot higher than everybody thinks. So yeah, Jameson 15 would not shock me at all. If he went higher, it wouldn't really shock me. But now we've got the New Orleans Saints at 16. They're in a really weird spot because they did just make that trade where they get an extra first round pick this year. But since we're not doing trades in this mock, I don't care for them to take Kenny Pickett, as weird as that may sound. They have Jameis Winston back. What they do have is hopefully a healthy Michael Thomas. Let's get him another receiver for Jameis Winston to work with. Let's go with Garrett Wilson from Ohio State. Super smooth, very clean receiver, good separator, has the athleticism you want to stretch the field. He's got great balance in the air. He's going to be able to win contested catches, even though he's only about 5'11". And you know what? Ohio State connection between him and Michael Thomas, maybe MT can teach him a few things.
I like it.
So, I mean, obviously, that's the first 16 picks. That's all we're going to do today. Andrew, I'd love for you to maybe dive in a little bit here and give us your thoughts on potential trades, where you see maybe where we maybe might have reached or maybe got a nice little deal. And then, you know, we'll go from there.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, this is a very realistic mock. I mean, I love the Giants getting both sides of the trenches. I love Seattle not reaching for a quarterback that they may not be in love with Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral getting the tackle. Because one thing I always say with rookie quarterbacks, if you aren't ready to put them in a good situation, you're not ready for a quarterback. You're exactly ready to build the team.
Yep.
So if – and their offensive line, we know it's not great. We know that they're maybe looking at trading DK Metcalf. Heard a little bit about Tyler Lockett, but I don't think anything's going to come to fruition with that. So if they do trade DK Metcalf, this is not a team that wants a quarterback. This is a team that wants everything else but a quarterback so that when they do make that move, you know, they can actually succeed right away. I love Jermaine Johnson at 10. I actually got to watch him down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. He was freaking electric. He was the best player there for the first 2 days of practice. I really do think he is going to, like, another thing with one of those players, I think he's going to go higher than a lot of people think. He has just that explosive motor. He's going to get around you. He's going to get through you. He's going to do everything that you want an edge rusher to do at a high level. I love him. I think there needs to be more talk about him being in that upper echelon with the Trevon Walkers, with the Kayvons, with the Aidens. Freaking love him as a player. Trent McDuffie at 14, I love. He's another player where he needs to be in that discussion with the Amaltos Gardners and the Derek Stingleys. He is really good. The run support that you talked about, he's easily the best run support corner in this draft. And then the Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson, love both of those receiver picks. And everything else, there wasn't really a reach, I would say. Every player here you can make the case for. Me personally, I would go Evan Neal one, but Aiden Hutchinson is what they are going to do most likely. So from a mock standpoint, that is the best pick. I just think the Jaguars are dumb. So, and then Kayvon, you had it bang on the head. Kayvon's getting undervalued. When he's fully healthy and when he has that motor fully going, he's the best player in this draft. There's no question in my mind about that. But people are having questions. People saw what Aiden Hutchinson did later in the season. People are seeing what Trevon Walker's done over the last few weeks in the pre-draft process. But they're forgetting what Kayvon did at Oregon, and what he did was freaking amazing. What I'll tell people to do, if you forgot about Kayvon Thibodeau, go back to the second half of Oregon versus Cal. I mean, Pac-12 after dark, he was the best player in the country for that half. But everything else, yeah, this was a very good mock draft.
I actually do have one question because you mentioned like the Jags being dumb, where like I've actually seen like rumblings that like Trevon Walker could go number one. It was like literally, it was like last week where like, Trevon Walker is going to the Lions. Like, why do you think his draft stock's going up? Like, did he have like that great of a combine? Like, what other factors do you think?
I mean, he did have an amazing combine.
For sure, yeah.
I think people are looking at how good that Georgia defensive line was. And when they're watching, you know, Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, they're like, oh, wait, who's this guy? Who's this Trevon Walker guy? And they're realizing, oh, this guy is for real. You know, you didn't see it on the stat sheet because it's impossible to get a ton of stats on that Georgia defensive line because everyone is so good that, you know, this person's going to get this much this game. You know, everyone's going to get something, but no one's going to get everything. So they're realizing the skill, but then I think they're also kind of running with it because, as I said with Kayvon Thibodeau, some people are kind of going off him because of the Aiden Hutchinson. I think some people are kind of going off Aiden Hutchinson for Trevon Walker. It's kind of the new in thing going for Trevon Walker. Do I think he's a great player? Yes. Would I take him one? No, not at all. I would take Kayvon one. I would take, if you liked Aiden one, I would go Aiden one. I would take Evan Neal one. I think Trevon one really isn't realistic over having this much hype over the last about 2 months.
Yeah. I think too.
Yeah.
It seems like Jacksonville's like decided that they want Josh Allen on one side, Aiden Hutchinson on the other, and then the rest kind of will fall into place. But I think you're right. They're kind of a dumb franchise. So
yeah, I've said this before. If draft Twitter or any draft social media just combined into one person, they would be better at drafting than Trent Baalke.
That's true. That's 100% true. Like,
or 100%. Just decision-making. Who franchise tags Cam Robinson when you have a chance at Evan Neal or Kamar Kwonu?
Yeah,
I mean, they made bad decisions, so it's not surprising.
And plus, yeah. like even the beginning of free agency, where like, you know, DJ Chark signed with the Lions, and like there's talk like Laviska Shenault, like you replaced them with Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. Like that's like I don't know what the Jags are seeing, but like that's like, what are you doing? Like it's like, why? Like those two are like, I mean, Christian Kirk's good. Don't get me wrong, I love Christian Kirk, but like.
He's not $17.5 million good.
Not seven, yeah.
You know what? His agent is a moneymaker. Let's just say that.
Definitely.
You mentioned Jameson Williams and how, like, a few years ago, Henry Ruggs, his speed kind of got him to number one. In that draft, I never once thought that Ruggs was the best receiver in that draft. And I think, I mean, the personal stuff aside in all seriousness, yeah. But like even still to this day, I still didn't see why he was valued above CeeDee Lamb, Judy, or at this point, even Justin Jefferson. But in this case for Williams, I think if it wasn't for the ACL, I think he's the slam dunk best receiver in the entire draft. I think if it wasn't for the ACL again, I don't think there'd be a mock draft with him outside of the top 15 at the latest, in my opinion. I just think he was that good, and I think you saw how Alabama struggled without both him and John Metchie in that national championship game. If at least one of them is there, especially just Williams is there, I think that game might go a lot different for Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, you said top 15. I would say top 10. I think Jameson Williams would be the most mocked player to the Atlanta Falcons at 8 if he is fully healthy. No doubt he's not the best wide receiver. No doubt he's probably not even the best offensive player outside of tackles. I think you could honestly make an argument, say Carolina wasn't going to draft a quarterback this year, he would probably be the first non-tackle offensive player, because some people are going to have their questions about Malik, some people are going to have their questions about Kenny Pickett. With Jameson Williams, not only is he just blazing fast, he's able to stretch the field, he's good after the catch, he's also 6'2". Yeah. Like with the smaller guys that are usually fast, they're 5'10", 5'9", which isn't a problem, but when you're 6'2", it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Another thing I kind of wanted to what was I going to ask? Brain fart. One sec. Do you see Seattle potentially, like, because we talked about how you loved the no QB pick, and that's kind of was my thought process. They're not ready for a quarterback, especially not one in this draft. I think it'd be kind of a waste of a pick to throw maybe to overvalue a quarterback and throw him into that situation. I think that'd be a waste of a pick. So I went Charles Cross. I think that's safe and it's a great value pick. And then next year they have two first round picks that maybe they could potentially move up. I don't think they'll have to move up much. I don't think they're going to be very good this upcoming year. But if they do want to take a quarterback, I think they'll have a better pick next year and a chance at a better quarterback. Do you think that's the game plan for Seattle?
I do think that is the game plan, but I don't know why this isn't getting talked more about Seattle. Why the heck is Pete Carroll still there?
Yeah.
He cannot run a competent offense. If you give Seattle CJ Stroud, I am so sorry, CJ, that you're going to get your career wasted in Seattle, because Pete Carroll cannot call an efficient offense. He runs the ball whenever he doesn't need to. He passes whenever he needs to run. We've seen that before. And also, I just think I don't like using age as an excuse. I think he's getting too old. We see the meta of head coach hirings be a young offensive coordinator that's creative. We saw it with LaFleur. We saw it with McVay. We saw it with Shanahan. And look what they did. Shanahan got his team to a Super Bowl. McVay got his team to two Super Bowls and won one of them. And LaFleur has been one of the most consistent 13-win coaches in the NFL. And that's what Seattle needs right now. They need consistency because they haven't been good since the Legion of Boom disbanded. And if they can get their quarterback in a good situation next year, I love it. I like the quarterbacks for next year. I think CJ Stroud is probably my preseason QB1, but Bryce Young is still very good. Just the number one thing is don't put them in a bad situation, because when you put quarterbacks in bad situations, especially young ones, they're not going to succeed. That's kind of like what I see with Justin Fields in Chicago right now. Chicago's not in a good spot. They don't have a good receiver outside of Darnell Mooney, but he's not really a WR1. The offensive line struggles at times, which is what you saw, especially against, remember that Cleveland game? Myles Garrett had like 6 sacks that game. That should never happen, especially to a rookie quarterback. Like, that just ruins your confidence. It's going to hurt Justin Fields. It's going to hurt Chicago. But yeah, just avoid what Chicago's doing, and Seattle should be okay, because they still do have some good pieces.
For sure. Another thing I wanted to ask you, so in this top 16, obviously we had a no trade rule just to keep things simple. But honestly, in my opinion, I don't know if I see too many trades happening that early on. I think there's a lot of locks in this draft. I think there's a lot of teams that either already have quarterbacks or just don't love a quarterback in this draft. And some teams have more than one pick, and I think they want to get the absolute best player available instead of gambling on a quarterback. Do you see like not a lot of trades happening until maybe the second half of the draft?
I do agree. I don't think there's going to be that many, but that means there's going to be like 7, because that's how it always goes with trades, because you know you can never predict them because some of them happen on the spot. But I think one trade down spot that not a lot of people are talking about is Minnesota. If Minnesota doesn't have a corner there that they love, they have other needs like guard, wide receiver, I mean, even safety. Harrison Smith is getting up there in age. They could easily be one of those teams that moves back and one of the teams move up for a quarterback to, you know, skip over the line of, you know, New Orleans at 16. Houston seems to love Davis Mills, which, you know what, good on them. Or maybe it's another player that just really felt like, say, Kyle Hamilton just had the biggest fall of the century. And, you know, someone wants to move up for him over Houston at 13 if Houston didn't take him at 3. That's a possibility. There's a lot of teams that could realistically do it. Obviously, with quarterbacks, Pittsburgh at 20, they have to move up if they want a quarterback they like. And in my mind, the only spot you can really move up is 5, because Carolina at 6 is too big of a destination. And New York has 5 and 7, so maybe they may be a little bit more lenient. But Pittsburgh would have to give up a lot. And you know what? Kevin Colbert, in your final year as a GM doing the draft, go out with a bang.
There's been some talk here in Buffalo about, you know, the Bills potentially trading up. Do you see them falling anywhere in the top 16 for any of these guys? I mean, they've been linked to Jamison Williams and Sauce. And, you know, I don't know how much you hear out in Minnesota, but
there's some talk here. I would say right now the problem with Buffalo is they just had too good of a year. I mean, they lost in the AFC Divisional, which I'm not going to lie, I would have loved for them to win that game. That game was an instant classic. Josh Allen should have gotten another chance at the ball. But with wide receivers, I think this year, just like last 2 years pretty much, the class is deep enough where you can wait and still get a great receivers. Like, if they fell in love with Jameson, I actually love getting him, because you get him with Stephon, with Gabe Davis. That would be, oh my gosh, that trio would be insane. But I mean, I don't really see any other positions, like, unless they loved Trent McDuffie, but I feel like they would have to give up too much for a corner that isn't even in the top 2. So especially when you can get a guy like Andrew Booth. Andrew Booth is possibly going to be there at 25. He's got really good athleticism. Or even a guy like Kyrie Elam, he'll be there for sure. Or you can even wait till like round two and get a Tariq Woolen. So I don't know if Buffalo has to be too aggressive getting a guy. If they want to move up a few spots to get someone, I love that. It shows that they're aggressive about making sure that this is a win now year. But I don't know if they have to move up into the top 16.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah, definitely a popular topic on this show. 30 minutes in, we finally bring up the team we cover. last thing I wanted to ask, we talked about the Jags and you mentioned how they could be done with their pick. And I picked Aiden because I think that's what they're going to do. And I think that's a safe pick to pair with Josh Allen, like I said. And I also said that I easily could see this being a tackle. And if I was in charge, I honestly would probably lean more towards a tackle, if I'm being completely honest. But do you think they tried hard to trade this pick? Since if this was a quarterback heavy draft and they have Trevor Lawrence, I think this would have been a golden opportunity to trade out of this pick. But unfortunately for them, it's not, and they're kind of stuck with the pick. Do you think they tried their best to shop the pick?
I think they made a few calls, and I think everyone was like, why the heck would I want your pick?
Exactly.
Because this year, the number one pick, in my opinion, should always either be a quarterback, an edge rusher, or a tackle. It's obvious they're going to go edge rusher. They apparently have their tackle in Cam Robinson, once again, very dumb, and they have their quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. Most teams aren't going to view Malik Willis as a guy you have to move up for. Most people aren't going to trade up to one for a tackle when, once again, there's a few good tackles that you can get in the top 15, and it's real unrealistic to move from like 20 to 1. So I think they made a few calls, and I think people were like, you know what? I never was even thinking about this. It's just unrealistic. Jaguars really got the short end of the stick, but they also gave themselves the short end of the stick by franchise tagging Cam Robinson.
I actually have a question as well. I noticed that with our picks that no inside linebackers were chosen in the first 16. Who do you think gets picked first, on N'Kobe Dean or Devin Lloyd?
Devin Lloyd, and I honestly think N'Kobe Dean could probably fall out of the first round. I think his size is quite undesirable. I love him as a tackler. He's got great ability to pursue a ball carrier, but Devin Lloyd to me is the full package. He's got the size, he's got the athleticism, he's got the ball skills, he's got the intelligence. His first realistic landing spot would have been 9 to Denver, but we know that's no longer Denver's pick. I think right now you could look at, I think Philly at 15 could very easily take him. We know their linebacker woes have been definitely something over the last few years. And even a team like, I mean, Minnesota could really go anywhere, and I would not be surprised. If they took Devin Lloyd, I'd be like, he's probably one of, if not the most talented player on the board. I don't dislike the pick. Yes, they have Eric Kendricks, but, I mean, Anthony Barr, are we in 2017? So, and by the way, Anthony Barr, we know who's hurdled him before.
Yeah.
And kind of speaking of interior, you know, that middle linebacker position, a hot topic. It's not draft really related. Well, I guess it could be, but Tremaine Edmonds gets a ton of shit here. I'm sure you see it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to see what your thoughts are, and if this is where maybe the Bills look for his replacement, or what you know what your thoughts are on Tremaine.
I don't dislike him. I don't understand why everyone hates him. I definitely think that they should if they wanted to take a guy day two, not to replace him, but to like have depth and, you know, maybe see what he's got. Troy Anderson from Montana State's one of my favorite prospects in this class. He's a former quarterback, former Wildcat quarterback from the FCS, and he went to running back, then he went to linebacker. You know, he's got the athleticism, but I don't think it's really realistic for them to go linebacker at 25, especially. It doesn't make any sense at all.
You'd be surprised, man. Everyone wants Tremaine gone up here.
Everyone thinks he's like the worst linebacker in the league. He's not. He's actually, from number-wise, missed tackles, missed tackle percentage and like tackles for loss. He's in the top. He's not the best linebacker, but he's top 10. He's in the upper tier, but for some reason, everyone wants him cut. And it's like, it's because he doesn't cause a fumble every play.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know. It's just
like, I will say this, if you look at our mock that we did last week strictly for the Bills, The only reason I have N'Kobe Dean is because Doug wanted to pick a corner and DJ wanted to pick a running back, so I had to do something different, and I just wanted to pair him with Tremaine. I like Tremaine, but that was kind of like my only option there. That's the only reason I did that. I was going to ask you this next week, but I can't wait for personal reasons. Do the Packers move up for a wide receiver, and who is their best fit? I'm sorry. I'm a Packers fan on a Bills pod, for everyone who doesn't know, but that is that is my dilemma right now, and I can't sleep at night.
I also want to know, too.
You know what? I'm glad there's two of us, because I'm also a Packer fan.
Oh, my God. Hey, there we go. Three Packers fans doing the Bills podcast. I love it.
Nice.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Good decision.
As much as I love Jameson Williams, I don't think he'll be there at 22. If they moved up, I would freaking love it. I would go insane. But we know that they don't trade up for players that we love outside of Jaire Alexander. Look at Jordan Love. A lot of people have been naming Chris Olave. Doesn't really make sense to me, because we know that the wide receivers for the Packers, especially the ones they've drafted, have two things, size and speed. He has the speed. He doesn't have the size. Yep. I think the first name that I look at on here when I see a Packer is Christian Watson. Doesn't have to go far from Fargo to Green Bay. He has the size. He has the speed. He doesn't have great hands. That's really his biggest knock. But Christian Watson, if you like him a lot, 28, I don't think that's a bad pick, especially in this year's receiver class. There's the guys that are for sure first-rounders, the guys that are like, if you like him, take him in the first round. And then there's the for sure second and third round guys. I think he's in that middle tier right now. I think Christian Watson, and outside of him, it's like Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama. He's like 6'2". He's got good athleticism. I love Sky Moore out of Western Michigan as a second round pick. So first round, Christian Watson. Second round, you're looking at like Tolbert, Sky Moore. And I will say this, my biggest draft crush is Khalil Shakir from Boise State. He doesn't fit the Packers mold. But if they took him in round two or three, I mean, I would go insane. I've said, you know the saying, bang your fist on the table for a player? I would karate chop a steel table for Khalil Shakir.
Interesting.
That's
so you guys do know that the Packers are going to take like a linebacker, right?
Shut up.
They're going to take a guard.
No. One of the picks is going to be Kenyon Green.
I wouldn't hate it.
No, that'd be great. Like everything they want, because like he's played every single position on the Texas A&M line. But right, here's one last thing about the wide receiver. You don't think that they get Treylon Burks?
I was gonna say I really like Treylon Burks.
He's my draft. He's my draft crush, because he's like the Debo's. I don't like doing comparisons because obviously it's different. But like people are calling him like the Debo Samuel this draft, because like he's the most versatile, great. And you know the Packers, you know they really need someone for the screen game, for like being physical. I feel like plus he's big. So I just want to know. I just want to get your analysis on him.
Yeah, Treylon Burks, I can understand if you have him in your top two. I can understand if you don't have him in your top five. He's like fringe top five for me. I like the size. I like the physicality. I like the versatility. I like his run blocking. I feel like people don't talk about that enough. But when I look at him, I don't see a Green Bay Packer. Because when you think of the Packers that have been drafted, outside of Amari Rodgers, you see the speed. I don't see that with Burks. He does have ability to get away from defenders after the catch, but I don't see that initial speed like off the line of scrimmage when he's running like a go route. I want to see somebody who can actually stretch the field, because the Packers don't have that. Randall Cobb is like 35 or something. So let's not even talk about him. Amari Rodgers, you don't see him as a wide receiver at all. He's been a returner, which hope they don't do that again. So they need to get somebody that can stretch the field, because I mean, even though Devontae wasn't a burner, he could stretch the field as good as any of them. So getting a guy like Sky Moore, who doesn't even have like the elite speed, he can stretch the field. Christian Watson can spread it, stretch it. So yeah, Treylon Burks, good player, in my opinion probably fringe first rounder. I don't see him as a Packer though.
That's fair.
Before we let you go, Andrew, before we end up wrapping it up tonight, we'd love for you to join us next week to do the last 16 picks in the first round.
I'd love to.
All right. So next week, be here same time on Tuesday. If you like what you heard, you know, subscribe to or follow us on Twitter at 71 Blitz. You know, follow Andrew. He's got his tag right there, and he's on the transfer portal at the transfer portal, right?
At T-Portal CFB on Twitter. A lot of very talented people over there.
Yes. Check us out. Check them out.
Yeah, and remember to follow and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on the side of Electric Avenue, at the podium at the NFL Draft, anywhere that you can get your premier Bills content.
Last thing, not hockey related, but I'd like to congratulate Owen Power on his NHL debut. Sabres got a win in Toronto. He had a +2, no goals or assists, so that means he is a clear-cut bust. 100%, no doubt about it. Just kidding. No, not really. But yeah, I'm kidding.
Well, and a special shout out to fucking Biz. You leave cocksucking bitch. Fuck you.
I've seen Power live. He's really good.
Yeah.
So I'm actually I have the Wild game on over here, and we're destroying Edmonton.
Oh, nice.
Good. I hate Edmonton too, so that's great.
Yeah, I hate Draisaitl. I hate him.
All right, guys. Well, yeah, see everyone next week.
Peace out, Deal Breakers.
Thanks, everyone.
See ya.